The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo, and you're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio, the show that brings you insight, strategies, tips, and tools for success every week on the air. I wanted to start today's show by talking a little bit about gratitude, and not in a preachy way, but I was thinking today about how much I really enjoy talk radio, and I've been thinking about this lately. Because when I first moved down to Melbourne, Florida from Long Island, New York, I didn't know anybody here. And one of the things that I started to think about was, I'm in a new place, I have a business, I have to restart my business. How am I going to restart my business if nobody knows who I am? And so I joined a networking group, a BNI group. And very shortly after that, somebody told me they knew somebody here at WMEL. And they set up an appointment for me to come in and talk with the founder and the owners and the sales director who's here in the engineering booth right now, Vern Harper. And I came into the studio and was really welcomed. And what I found out was that talk radio is a really great way to build community. And not only was I able to build a community by joining the radio station and meeting so many people as a result of my opportunity here, but I'm able to share that opportunity and to continue building opportunities for more people to connect and really enjoy the sharing part of the community. And what I really love about this is the sharing spirit and the ability to share knowledge, to educate, and to connect with you as a listener. And so today is really all about connecting. We're going to be talking about connecting to excellence through engineering, connecting with investors and support through a local pitch event that we're going to tell you about in a moment, and connecting with healing energy to reach your heart and your highest potential. We have Dr. Linda Nadia Hole with us, and she's actually very well known for her work in Qigong, and she is an MD as well. And she is just recently here in Melbourne, traveling as of this week from Jerusalem. She's really world-traveled, world-renowned in her field, and we're lucky to have her with us today. So we're going to be talking about those connections. And last but not least, we have our favorite Jean Newell back with us in the studio today. Jean Newell, formerly host of Speak Out, Listen In on Bold Talk, on AM 1300 WMEL, our favorite radio station. Hey, Jean, how are you doing?
I'm great, Donna. Thanks for having me on today. It sounds like an exciting show, and we have a lot to accomplish.
Well, I think we do have a lot to accomplish, and that's a perfect segue because I read in a Forbes quote today. The Forbes quote of the day today is, quote, "They are able because they think they are able." And we're going to be talking about all of the things that people can do today, starting about a discussion about how to innovate in business and really how to make some of the important connections that we want to make. So we have with us also Jay Chandramani, who is the co-founder of JCON Systems. And Jay is really an aggressive problem solver in the field of engineering. And he oversees a team of hardware and software engineers who are dedicated to a strong work ethic. And he has fostered a thriving tech ecosystem here on the Space Coast. So I'm really happy to have Jay with us, and his partner in business is Derek Blankenship. And Derek is focused on the business side of making engineering businesses happen and collaborating. So thanks for being with us today. And what I'd like to start with is we're going to talk more about engineering and how engineering actually can move businesses and products forward. But let's start by talking about the connections and what you're trying to do in the community, because I love the fact that engineers are not, you know, kind of just sitting locked at a desk here. You are young, vibrant fellows, and you're out in the community, and you're doing something important. Tell me a little bit about where your passion for connection comes from and why you do this pitch event, and what's the pitch event all about?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us on, Donna. I appreciate it. It's the first time of being on air, so we're pretty excited here. In JCON Systems, we're doing a pitch series downtown in Melbourne to bring together people who have ideas and people who want to learn about those ideas. We have investors coming to JCON Systems and the pitch series. We have people who want to partner with some of these people with ideas, as well as we have people that are just coming together who just look at it as entertainment, and so they're coming to the pitch series just for fun. We've been doing pitch series, and they want to come and have a beer and have some pizza and just hang out and network, really.
And so they come and they pitch their ideas. So tell me a little bit about how that works. Who's listening to their pitches?
Everybody's listening to their ideas and their pitches. We have venture capitalists from around the Space Coast here, down in Miami, over in Orlando. These guys are hearing about these guys with pitches, as well as their family members are coming to support them. They're getting on social media. They're getting on Facebook. They're telling people about the event that's happening, this pitch series event at JCON Systems. So everyone's really listening, as well as other people who have ideas. They're coming together and talking to each other. We also have people in the community, patent attorneys, coming together and saying, hey, you know, maybe I can help out these guys with their ideas. So a lot of people in the community are really coming together.
I think it's really awesome, because I am so focused, and I'm really blessed today to have Dr. Linda with us, because Dr. Linda is all about energy. And I think that what you guys are doing is all about energy. So what I really want to have happen is to tell our listeners today, who have businesses, who have lives, who have something that they want to accomplish, where and how they can tap into that energy to make some new things happen. One of the questions that occurred to me as I was thinking about you fellas coming on the show today is, what really drives people to want to innovate? What happens when you notice that it's time for a change? And, you know, what pressures motivate people to come to you?
So the pressures that motivate people that come to us, and by the way, I do have Jay here with me.
Hi.
So the pressures that motivate people to come to us is, you know, they see a problem, and when they're faced with problems, they're trying to figure out solutions, and, you know, there is no solution that they can see. So that drives people to come to JCON Systems to come up with these solutions, and oftentimes there are engineering solutions that we have to really look into. We have to do a lot of research in order to offer solutions to the customers.
So Jay, can you tell me a little bit about what are some of the products that you have worked on, so our listeners can kind of put a picture together with our discussion?
Sure. We've worked on everything from kitty litter boxes to medical devices to wireless devices for students' research. We've worked on products for the ISS. We've worked on everything. We don't discriminate when it comes to product development.
How do you qualify if somebody comes to you with an idea? How do you qualify that idea as something you want to work on?
Well, first, we think about what type of technologies that we're familiar with, so we can see if we can fit any of those technologies and what they're trying to do. And we try to see how far along they are. So maybe they already have a prototype, a working prototype. That really helps us to see how serious they are when they come in. You know, are they just coming in with an idea, or are they really like committed, and have they really tried to solve their idea before they come to us? I also wanted to talk about how people come up with ideas, because I spend a lot of time when I wake up trying to think of new ideas, because I really like to create a product one day and put it on the market. And I think it begins with, from the moment you wake up to the time you're going to sleep, you're constantly dealing with different problems in your life, whether it's, you know, cleaning cat poop off the floor that I did this morning, or you know, maybe waking up, getting late to a meeting that you're supposed to be at 8 a.m. and you just couldn't wake up because your alarm didn't wake you up. And so you're constantly thinking about ways to improve your alarm, or improve the cat litter box so you know the cat doesn't poop outside, or how about when you go to sleep, how well are you sleeping? Some of the biggest products on the market today are based on just sleep and waking up in the morning. So That's really where ideas are generated, when you experience a problem in your life.
So that, you know, that says a lot about the society that we're living in. And I know, as a marketer, and I'm the author of Marketing Demystified, so I spent a lot of time talking with people about marketing and branding. And the question that we always suggest to ask yourself as a business owner who's trying to innovate or figure out what the next step in your business is, it's always about service, first of all. Like, you have to provide a service and something of value to someone. So when you look at their point of pain, you know, like, okay, well, if I'm not sleeping at night, that is definitely something that we have to address. So what happens then when somebody comes to you and they have an idea, or you get an idea? If you get an idea on your own, do you go and pitch your idea to a company, or do you wait? And are you I know you're doing a lot of projects now. How many projects are you engaged in at one time?
I think we have about 15 right now, live projects.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty challenging. So let's talk for a moment about what the process of innovating actually looks like. You started with, you know, you have to have a problem to solve. You have to notice that something is wrong. So when you notice that something is wrong, or your clients notice that there's got to be a better way to, you know, build the mousetrap, what happens? What's the next step that people generally take?
Well, once you discover something is wrong, the first thing you're going to do is go on Google and look for something to solve your problem. And you know, in this day and age, a lot of people have the same problem that you have, and they may have already solved it. So that might be the end of your
idea. And that, I know that's so deflating, because I myself have done that, where if like, oh, I got a great idea, or I have a client who calls me up and they have a great idea, and then we go Google it, and it's been there, done that. Somebody's got that out there. I worked with a company years ago that was working on a new technology, and they spent a lot of time just kind of being cool in the office with it. They were actually a very, very young team of software engineers. And by the time they actually got their product built, there were so many other pieces on the platform of the internet that it was a little bit too late. So I guess if you were going to advise somebody on when to get started with an idea, what would you tell them?
Well, first, I would go out and do my research and see if it already exists. And if it doesn't, then the next thing I would do is talk to all my friends. And don't be afraid to share your idea, because everyone's got an idea. Nobody wants to do your idea. They want to do their own. So talk to your friends and see what their reaction are. Talk to as many people as you can. I wouldn't worry so much about them stealing your idea. A lot of people are worried about, oh, he's going to run away with my idea, and then, you know, I won't be able to do it. So definitely talk to people and see, you know, does your idea have some wings? What are people's reactions?
Yeah. So that's a very key issue, is what gets in people's minds about, and maybe this is something that eventually we'll have Dr. Linda comment on, because it's the thought energy that really drives or doesn't drive a lot of the projects that happen. And I know, Jean, you've got a lot of thoughts of your own here, and I'm expecting any moment we're going to hear one from you.
Okay, I'm going to jump in, because everything that you're saying is right on, because I invented a product about 10 years ago. And what you're saying about people, they hate to share their idea because they're afraid somebody's going to steal it. And of course, there's the non-disclosure documents that you can have people sign if they feel more comfortable. But it's all about finding out if your actual product is something that you'd like, or it's something that other people would like. So that focus groups is another way to go to the next step with that, is actually have people that would be candidates for that particular product to sit down, have them for lunch, and talk about the ideas. And the one thing that I'm going to just jump in on is maybe it would be handy for someone to know, if you are going to have a focus group about your product, sometimes it's better not to run your own focus group, because people are afraid to hurt your feelings by saying, I don't think I would pay $29.95 for that. I think it's worth $15. They might not tell you that, but they'll tell an independent person running that focus group they'll be more truthful, let's put it that way. And I wanted to find out before I forget, how often do you have these pitches? Are they scheduled every month? How does that work? And if you had an idea out there, what would you do first? Do you call your office, set up the appointment, find about the next pitch? Is there a charge for that? I think let's walk them through that pitch system.
So we've been doing the pitch system for about 4 months now. And since the 4 months, the ultimate one is going to be, there we go, sounds a little better. This is our fourth one, and we're going to be downtown Melbourne. Up until this point, we've been hosting them at our own location at Jaycon Systems, and we have 3,000 square foot there where we move everyone's desks out of the way. And so we have been doing it once a month, and it has been building each month. And we did, we partnered with the Women's Business Center, who is now WeVenture, and they wanted us to talk about ideas and products for women and families. And then the next pitch event we did was STEM, and the STEM event was for students to come in and to pitch ideas. And the very first one we did, I guess I'm out of order here, but the first one we did was just kind of seeing, you know, trying the waters out and see how well people like the idea. And we had people come to pitch their ideas on anything. It was a very broad-based. And so as we go forward now with our last one, as we see it in today, people have all kinds of different ideas into cleaning the ocean, into Bluetooth ideas. So the range is all around. So people, when they have an idea, they just come to the pitch event and they talk to us. They just walk through the front door and say, hey, I'd like to pitch. And this last pitch event, it's just a culmination of everyone getting together. And we've been having the people vote for their ideas.
And when is that going to be?
That's going to be on May 8th.
And can you give us an address?
Downtown Melbourne Main Street.
Okay. This is Donna Anselmo. You're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300 WMEL. The female voice you were just listening to was Jean Newell, who is guest co-hosting with me today, and one of my favorite personalities from WMEL in past life. And I'm always happy when she's back in the studio with me. And we're with also Jay Chandramani and Derek Blankenship from Jaycon Systems in Melbourne, Florida, otherwise known as Space Coast, Florida. And we're really happy to be talking about some of the ways that people can engineer success through the pitch event that Jay and Derek have been deeply involved in creating in the Melbourne area to let people share their thoughts and ideas and talk about some of the innovations that are happening on the Space Coast and some of the innovative thinking happening here. One of the points you just made is having people come out and share their ideas. Jean was talking earlier about using focus groups. So essentially, coming to a pitch event seems to me almost like a focus group to see what kind of reception you're getting to your idea.
Yeah, and the focus group is free. So you can come out, just come out, bring some friends, have some pizza, and pitch your idea and see.
Okay, so that's going to be great, because the next one is going to be in Melbourne at Friday Fest on May 8th. And what time was that?
Starting at 6 p.m. into the evening, 6 to 8, 6 to 9, 6 to 10.
So, good.
Do you know where you're going to be? Are you going to be out in the open in a tent or what?
Exactly. So during the Melbourne Friday Fest, they closed down the street.
Right.
And we are closing down an additional two blocks. And that additional two blocks is starting from Waverly West. And those two blocks are going to be with 24 additional tents. And inside those tents, we are trying to get startup companies and tech companies and people with ideas to come and set up inside those tents.
So it's kind of like a Shark Tank.
Kind of like a Shark Tank, exactly.
But it sounds like a friendlier Shark Tank. So let's get back a little bit to you have a product and you want to take it forward. You don't really know how to manufacture it. So they come to the pitch event. Maybe they come to you directly. Talk to me a little bit about the process of growing a product. Tell me a little bit about the engineering process.
So we're in the Space Coast, so it's pretty easy. If it's, you know, what we specialize in is hardware and software products, you would probably want to go out and find some engineering students or someone who can help you. Maybe you're not an engineer yourself, and you can have them help you make a prototype. Generally, you know, an off-the-shelf prototype, like buy things that are on, you know, you can get on the internet or locally, and put together a prototype together to express your idea so people can see it, not just hear about it and show that.
Even if it's just something that you're cobbling together, you don't need to have a final, you know, final product. You just need to have a concept.
Exactly. Yeah. So just something to show with your idea. It's just a proof of concept to bring, you know, and see if people like it.
Yeah, so once you have that proof of concept, then we can actually understand what your idea is. It makes it easier for us at JCON Systems to see what you're trying to build, and we can help you in taking that further.
We have just a few minutes left, about 3 minutes left, till we're going to break at the bottom of the hour. This is Donna Anselmo, AM 1300, the Talk to Me station with Bold Talk Business Radio, talking with Derek Blankenship and Jay Chandramani from JCON Systems about how you get products off the ground. So I'm going to ask you, when you're in the middle of it, you're in the thick of it, I know this stuff isn't easy. Sometimes things are just easy, especially when all your energy is flowing right and everything just comes together. But sometimes there are breakdowns that happen in systems. How do you navigate that? Where do more breakdowns come from? Is it because the products aren't working? Is it because the processes aren't working or the people aren't working? And how do you address that?
There are many situations when products break down, when the system breaks down, or when even people break down. And so it is a challenge every day. We're always putting out fires and coming up with solutions for customers as well as internal, and always trying to strive to be better. People, it's always fun to work with. It's always a challenge, as well as processes. Since we're a startup company of 4 years, we're always trying to make our processes a little bit better. And so it's always a fun challenge.
So tell me a little bit about what you do to communicate with your clients in the middle of a process. You know, I know sometimes I have done many years, because I'm in the marketing field, I've done graphic design, and I've had clients who want to sit over my shoulder while I'm at the computer. What are some of the things, and you know, that's not the best way for me to work, because I'm not that, you know, as creative when somebody's watching me and I'm feeling pressured by that. Tell me a little bit about how you communicate with people. What is the best process to make your process work?
To make the process work, you have to set up a foundation and identify that with the customer. And whether the customer has an urgent need to get done quickly, or if they have, you know, a year turnaround time. So we have to identify that with the customer in communication. And typically our customers have us 24/7. So when they call us, they'll text us even in the middle of the night. So we have to lay the foundation and get that set up at the very beginning.
So Jay, I feel like you're itching here. Why don't you share with us? We got less than a minute left. But what is something that you want these listeners to know about JCON Systems?
I'm thinking. One second. we're really friendly, and we're very open. And you can come in with your idea, and I'm gonna sit you down with 10 people to help you build that idea out before you go out and try to put it together.
Well, that's very good, because when you're working with friendly people, it lowers your worry and your stress level, and you feel like you're going to be accepted. And it's really about the idea. And let's just get it out there and make some good stuff happen. So I'm asking our listeners to stay with us through the break. Donna Anselmo of Bold Talk Business Radio will be back with Dr. Linda Nadia Hull talking about Qigong.
Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and we are back live with you in the studio at AM 1300 WMEL. Thanks for staying with us through the break. We have a wonderful new guest with us for the second half of this segment, Dr. Linda Nadia Hull, and we're going to be talking about Qigong. We also have Gene Newell, the illustrious Gene Newell, former co-host at WMEL and my guest co-host today. And what I wanted to share with you also today is some news about my friend and colleague who comes on live with me once a month, every month, and that is Russell Weigel, who is going to be back in the studio with me, and he was broadcasting with me downtown Melbourne last week. Russell is the investment attorney who wrote the book Capital for Keeps, and it's about limiting your litigation risk while you're raising capital. So if you're a company and you're looking to raise money for your business, you need to learn to hold on to the money that you do raise. And you may not realize that that's a problem, because if you think about it, when you think about investment and you think about the SEC and the SEC regulations, they are there to protect the people who are investing money with you, but there really isn't anybody out there who is personally responsible on a big level for protecting you when you are in the process of raising capital. So what I want you to know is that if you want somebody to look out for your interest, and you want to look out for your interest, tune in on the last Saturday of every month so that you can listen to what investment attorney Russell Weigel has to tell us. And Russell's book will help you to protect yourself from the legal fallout and regulatory red tape around investment capital. And I think we can recommend that to the people at the Pitch Series too, because it's really important when they're out there. These are new entrepreneurs and they're out there, they've got a great idea, but they don't necessarily realize that there's a lot of legal regulation around where and from who you can raise money. So Russell Weigel will help you with that, and he'll be back with me the last Saturday of the month. In the meantime, if you want to know some more about that, visit www.capitalforkeeps.com and check out Russell's very terrific book. So now I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Linda Nadia Hole, who is here, and we are so excited that she's here with us because she is not a native of the Melbourne and Space Coast community, but she's come to us recently from Jerusalem and formerly from Hawaii, and we're hoping she's going to settle in our midst here and start working with us to bring more healing energy and to help us to connect with the spirit inside of us that's really going to help us build our potential. So on Bold Talk Business Radio, we talk very often about reaching your potential in business and connecting with your success self. And it's really hard to do that when you have like inner blocks that get in the way of you feeling really good and really aligned with who you are, good about what you're doing and who you are and where your motivation is coming from. So Dr. Hole, Dr. Linda, as people call her who know her and love her, tell me a little bit about how you came to this philosophy, because I know you're a medical doctor, and people typically expect MDs to be focused on Western medicine, and you made a shift years ago from Western medicine to more integrative, complementary medical practices. So why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about your history and how you went from Western medicine into a more integrative space.
I think I started that way, actually.
Yeah. Oh, you started in the integrative space. Wow. So let me know how that happened.
In medical school, I took a course. I wanted an easy, like, month or two. There was a course called Christianity and Medicine that had a reputation for being easy.
So, okay. You know, we should have easy medicine. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so I took that, and there's a fellow named Dr. Wilson, who was legendary in the field for miracles right and left, and he totally reframed my view of how healing happens.
And so you've had some good teachers along the way. I'd like our listeners to know that in addition to this integrative space that you're involved with, you do have a education. It's a graduate of Duke University and Princeton, and also Oneness Universities. And you've served on many boards, and you've written many, you know, medical practice publications, including practice publications in integrative medicine. And so, when I know you had a personal experience. You had an experience where you had a skull fracture that damaged a nerve, and the medical community wasn't able to give you a good report or a good sense of being able to be cured from that. And yet you're sitting across from me, and your face works, and you're able to talk, and you're able to walk. So tell me about that.
I was in medical school, riding my bike home from our annual picnic, and was down south, and some redneck,
for lack of a better word, okay.
Yeah, I mean, stuck a stick in my wheel, and I went
really?
Over.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's not. I'm not here to say anything bad about rednecks. I mean, we're all. You know, I'm about a yellow neck. I'm Chinese. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went to the ER. Actually, blacked out totally. And I went to the ER, and they had everyone look at my eardrums because there's cerebral spinal fluid in my eardrums with blood.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
So they gave you a report that you were going to have long-standing paralysis.
I had an 80-20% chance of not recovering. And me being me, I actually went to work the next day because I wasn't paralyzed yet. I knew I was in trouble. And
how did you make the shift then to the more transformational space that you're living in now? And how did practices like Qigong influence your own health? Because one of the things that I always talk about, and as you know, on Bold Talk Business Radio, we talk about business, but health is primary to business in so many ways. You cannot do what you have to do at work if you are not sound in mind and body.
Okay. So there are a number of steps to that. Way back in medical school with my paralysis, Dr. Wilson, he asked me, he told me to be to thank God for the actual paralysis.
So that the paralysis becomes a lesson, and it's a blessing because...
Not even to look for, to figure out how it is a blessing, but just to ask, thank God for the actual paralysis, for the depression, and for the accident.
It's interesting. I want to hear more about how that worked. It strikes me that there's a first stage in that, which is just acceptance.
My first thought was that the medical, you know, his boss did not like him, and he had a reputation in medical school for being a little bit different. So my first thought was, you know, everyone's right. Dr. Wilson really is crazy.
Okay, yes.
And he actually spoke from experience because he had a similar experience himself with a back that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And he flipped open the Bible, and the Bible said to thank God for everything, and he thanked God for 3 days, and his back got better. So my own process back then, I didn't like it, and I didn't understand it, but I had nothing else I could do because... You know, there was nothing in the medical world that they could offer me at that point in time. So I did go home and thank God and prayed. And what happened? The first thing that happened was the depression lifted. Like I wasn't depressed about it anymore. I'd walk around with a really, really very funny smile that was looked like a circus freak. And people started saying, oh, God, what a cute smile. and obviously, you know, the paralysis went away too.
Mm-hmm. Well...
And then years later, during another, you know, rough time in my life, and as you talked about how problems are what really, you know, drives you to innovation, mm-hmm. you know, the times I made the biggest shifts in my life were when there were challenges.
So you made a shift because you were presented with a challenge. And so can you explain to me and to our listeners, I mentioned the word Qigong. I love the fact that, again, why I love talk radio. When I was a young person, I was really very shy. And then I decided I wanted to be a writer. And in order to get my books out and to be able to start to engage in the writer's world, I became a journalist. And I was like aghast because I had to go and ask people nosy questions. And I had to ask questions that somehow made people uncomfortable. But one of the things that I learned was I was always very kind. I like to think that I was always very careful about how I asked questions and careful about the intention of why I was asking, and always looking for the, you know, the highest purpose in serving the community and the world with the questions that I asked. But what I found is that because I had the vehicle of journalism and today the vehicle of talk radio, we can use that process of being a little nosy and asking the questions to really learn something important. So tell us what Qi Zhang is and why it's important to your life.
Well, Qi is the breath and Gong is practice. And like you, my job is also ask nosy questions. So when someone comes in and they say they have, you know, migraines, we say, well, what's been going on in your life for the past, you know, year and a half or so? And usually there's been some traumatic event. And if they don't deal with it face on, it goes deeper or gets, you know, requires more medication or becomes, you know, from migraines, it goes to ulcers. You know, if they deal with it head on, then there's a possibility of real healing. And not only does the pain go away, but usually their life opens up too.
So talk to me a little bit about what it takes to deal with this head, to deal with a medical issue. Most people consult, you know, medical doctors per se, they have a pain. They something goes wrong with their body, so they go to a doctor. Some people go and look for more spiritual counseling. What does it really take to confront the issues that make us less than whole and healthy?
It takes a lot of courage, and it takes, you know, a therapist or a container or a team that really makes it safe for you. And with love and with not really pointing out like this is your problem. You know, in terms of pain, I actually, you know, that's my expertise. I taught for years at American Academy of Pain Management, and we did our best to make it light for people. So with the acupuncture meridians, with the energy, with Qigong, we could free up the blocks and it be, yeah, and your pain would go away and a lot of ahas would come out too. Now, specifically how would that happen? The way it would happen, would someone would come in and say, I have a back pain. And we'd say, well, look, what's going on? And this woman happened to be a therapist and said, you know, nothing's going on, I'm a therapist, and just bug off. You know, we worked with the acupuncture, and the acupuncture identified the heart meridian and the bladder kidney meridian, which has to do with fear. So love and fear. Mm-hmm. You know, we treated her pain went away, and we told her what the meridians were about. She broke into tears, just weeping, 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 and said, look, my back pain happened when my father had a heart attack. He was sick, and I was sending him away back home to India, and I thought I'd never see him again. So I picked up the suitcase, my back went out. You know, I had total heartache and total fear.
So a lot of things come out physically that are really emotional pain that we're suffering. Yeah. On your website, which I really enjoy reading here, is alohamd.com. One thing it says right at the top is, happiness is a choice. And that's by Abraham Lincoln. And you don't think of him as being a philosopher or something like that. But that's so unique that he would say that. And the other thing I thought was very unique on your website, it says stressed is desserts spelled backwards. So kind of what you were saying, it was almost you prayed to God when you had the tragedy hit you, that it was not necessarily that something you wanted, but it was at that point you blessed it more or less, and it was a blessing. So stressed is desserts spelt backwards.
I love that. Particularly love desserts.
So you never know. If you get something stressed, it might really be something you need to know about, because it might be a blessing in disguise that you just need to know how to react to it. Are we on the right track there?
Yeah. Now, if you're stressed about something, there's something inside that's really bothering you. It's giving you a dis-ease. Mm-hmm. Dis-ease becomes disease. If you don't deal with it, if you just keep charging ahead, it gets bigger, like a pus ball. Mm-hmm. If you deal with it, then there's some freedom in it.
So it's good. We need to get inside of ourselves, find out what's causing a lot of our stress and emotional problems, so we can take care of it before it comes out physically.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
This is Donna Anselmo at AM 1300 WMEL. So happy to be on the Talk to Me station today with Dr. Linda Nadia Hole and Jean Newell, and our former guest today, Derek Blankenship and Jay Chandramani. And we were talking earlier about innovating in technology and product development, and now we're talking a little bit innovatively, because most of the world really isn't tuned into this. Although I know that Qijiang has grown, I also know, thanks to Jean's research earlier this morning, that Qijiang was banned in China for many years. Mm-hmm. So to me, I said to Jean, wow, this stuff must be really powerful if a government banned it.
Yeah, you got it.
So talk to me a little bit about the real power behind Qijiang. What does it do? How does it work?
Oh, geez, it does. It does a lot. I mean, on the far end, it sounds a little bit like, you know, too good to be true or too far out. I've moved a car with one finger. I've had one of my patients, like a really little tiny college kid, also, you know, the car, we treat her and her pain's gone, and the car is blocking everything in snow and ice. And she just went, oh, Dr. Lynn, no problem. I just moved it. So in pain, so superhuman feats happen. We have very usually, I mean, we expect pain to go away within, you know, maybe a minute or two, and it can be very severe pain, and it's documented. You know, we've done it for many, many years, and we can also teach other therapists to do it too. In terms of your business people on the line, my colleague did a Qigong workshop for Prudential Insurance. Their sales increased by 25% within like a week.
Wow, so very results-driven answer here, because that's what people look for in business. You know, this is an unusual thing to bring into a company. You know, let me come in and we'll do some energy work. And, you know, it's important because you want to energize a company and you want to energize your clients and you want to energize people's thinking. But this is very unusual. So when you can come in and actually document that you have increased the bottom line somehow, that's really compelling.
Well, also the company we worked with where they went from bankruptcy to, you know, in a positive cash flow.
This is something in depth that you really can't get into in 20 minutes, but it's, to me, it sounds like mind over matter. Is that...
No, it's more letting the chi, letting the energy be stronger than your mind. Yeah.
When
yes, mind over matter in terms of being very, very careful about which thoughts you choose. You want to choose thoughts that are positive, that support the energy.
So let's talk about that a minute, because, you know, there's a lot of research out there in the field of positivity, and I personally want to invite people to come to my website, boldmarketingsolutions.com. There's a form under the Connect page, and I'd like you to tell me your story about how you used a positive thought to change something in your life. I call it the All Good Thoughts Experiment, and I actually sign all of my emails. My email closing is almost always all good thoughts, because I want to reinforce for myself the intention when I send it, like, wow, I checked why I sent that and what I said in there and how it sounded. And the other thing is that the last thing the recipient of my email sees is the words all good thoughts, which reinforces it for them. So talk to me a little bit about how do you know that positive thinking makes a difference for people?
Oh, you can document it scientifically. And I'm and you know, thank you so much for spreading positive thoughts. Scientifically, you know, a positive thought, your immune system changes, your neurotransmitters change, your heart rate variability changes, your whole energy, you know, that's by Kirlian photography changes, and the your muscle strength changes. And we can document that in a you know, like an audience of, you know, 100 people, that every single person in the front row that we test, if someone has a negative thought, everyone gets weaker. A positive thought, everyone gets stronger.
Everyone across the board. Now, I have a question for you on that, because are you saying that the individual person that you're testing gets stronger or weaker, or the people around them as well?
I'm saying you're a lot more powerful than you know. And so when you have a positive thought or a negative thought, it affects everyone around you more than you ever would expect.
When you were talking, it's pretty incredible to think about. When you were talking earlier about being able to move a car, I mean, that's a kind of phenomenal feat, move a car with a finger.
I've never said that publicly, by the way. I mean,
well, we brought it to you first on Bold Talk Business Radio. How cool is that? So, but when you were talking about that, I was thinking, wow, it's like harnessing energy. And then I thought, no, harnessing is the wrong word. It's about more like tapping or touching the energy. How does what? Give me some descriptive that can help me and our listeners connect with what chi is really about, how you use it. If I want to start and I say, I don't know much about this, I don't know where to start, how do I do it?
Chi, again, is your breath, and gong is practice. So it's not the effort, you know, how do I use this energy to make something happen? It's how do I tap into that universal energy that's unlimited to allow it to happen? And when I moved the car, it was actually very playfully done. I didn't think it was going to move. I had to, because I had to get my kids to their basketball game in the snow.
So it's really determination and intent that I think probably...
Not really determination, more that sort of childlike, playful place going, like, what if, you know?
I think that's pretty pretty interesting to think about, and it gives us all, gives me, and I'm sure our listeners out there, and I know, Jean, you're probably thinking along the same lines I am. It's exciting.
Qigong takes away the effort. There's not effort in Qigong. Qigong is the place where you do your best to open your heart, open your mind, open your awareness to what's possible and allow it to happen with some very simple breathing exercises and focusing your thoughts.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of it's mental, a lot of it's spiritual, but it's also about the way you breathe and the air. Like they even say taking several deep breaths, I know, that clears the mind and so forth. That's along the same lines as that as well. It's all about a physical meditation, is it? Or is it an exercise program as well?
Qi can happen very quickly. I mean, everyone who's listening, you take just a very deep breath.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, take it deep, like in through your nose. Not with the. I'm watching the people here.
They're looking a little silly in the studio right now.
No, everyone's breathing with their, you know, lifting their shoulders up and taking a deep breath. No, listen. your shoulders relaxed. And you breathe into your heart. And you breathe all the way to your belly. And you know, being from Hawaii, I use the word aloha. You go aloha. Just repeat aloha. You,
aloha.
The great
aloha.
Spirit, low, bring it really deep.
That vibration within the...
Say it as low as you can say it. Aloha. 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 So we've had people just with that long distance over the phone after pain go away, and it's been... you know, documented C-spine injury pain.
Aloha means peace, though, doesn't it?
It means the spirit, low down your belly, where it's all unity, and ha, the breath of truth, the love of life. So aloha, the breath of love.
Wonderful. Yeah. And because we're talking about aloha, and I know that that's a great greeting and welcome in Hawaii, Our engineer has been kind enough to remind me today that, that's Vern Harper, thank you very much, that we had the birth of the child of Prince William and Princess Grace today. And the new, no, not Princess Grace. We're talking about Kate. And they had a new baby, a baby girl. And we want to welcome her and say aloha to this new baby and this wonderful new life and energy. That.